once again, my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. I greet you in that name that is above every other name, at the name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is indeed Lord. Lord over all, Lord of all, Lord through and through. You know, I know that right now people are perplexed. People are beginning to get perplexed. And now I want you to, one, remember that the Word of God, the Bible, is the only truth in the earth realm. And because it's the only truth in the earth realm, you need to make sure that your reality is based, and your worldview is based on the truth of the Word of God, and not on the manipulations of man or on the things that go on around you. There's a very important reason for that. You know, one of the reasons is men's hearts will fail them for the things that they see coming upon the earth. The scriptures have already told us that. At the same time, Jesus said, you know, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in me. You know, if you look at the waves around you that are swirling and going all over the place, you will begin to sink like Peter did. But if you keep your eyes on Jesus, you will walk on the water. You will walk on and live in the miraculous your entire life, all of your days. You know, the devil works very hard. He assigns demons, devils, all kinds of evil, tormenting spirits to do everything that they can to get you to take your eyes off of Jesus and to look at the waves crashing around you, to look at your circumstance, to look at your situation, to look at yourself. Whatever is necessary to get you to get your eyes off of Jesus. Because the devil looks to do that. Why does he look to do that? Because if your eyes are not on Jesus, then your eyes are not on your source. Your eyes are not on your place of protection. Your eyes are not on the source of your direction, the one that leads and guides you. And then you start panicking, and then you start trying to save yourself. And like Peter, you know, when Jesus was walking on the water, Peter started to sink. And when Peter started to sink, Jesus reached out and grabbed him, but he had to call out to him. But there was no need for Peter to sink in the first place. There was no need for it. You know, there's no need a lot of times for us to go through, and many of the things that we end up going through, if we would just keep with the simple principles of the Word of God, if you would just keep with the simplicity of the gospel, if you just keep your eyes on Jesus, you will walk through so much of this. You know, one of the things that the devil has to do in order to get at a true follower of Christ, so they have to work to break down that hedge of protection that is around the believer, around you. And in order to do that, it requires that you become a willing participant. You have to participate with the temptations of the devil. You have to be willing to go in. You have to be willing to say, okay, you know, I'm going to try that, sure. And when you do that, when you engage in sin, when you engage in the temptations of the enemy, when you bite the apple, as it were, when you embrace the world, your hedge of protection that's around you gets eroded. And as you continue on in certain things like that, in willful sin, in disobedience to what the truth is, what happens is over time, the devil just comes and goes from your life, however he wants to. Because what does it say in Proverbs? It says that a man without self-control is like a city with no walls. You know, a city with no walls in the Old Testament times especially, there's no protection. Bandits could come in and go whenever they pleased. They could take whatever they wanted, whenever they wanted, because there was no protection. They could come and go whenever they felt like it, because there was nothing stopping them. There was no hedge around them. There was nothing that kept them from coming in and going out. And that's what happens with the demonic. You know, I know some of you guys out there, you struggle with certain things, but my question there too is, you know, what are you doing on your side, according to the Word of God, to shore yourself up? Look, here. You can be running all over the place trying to get people to pray for you. And yes, you do need people to pray. You can ask people to pray for you, and they will pray. If they're brothers and sisters in Christ, they'll pray. But at the same time, if in your own heart, if your will is to not be free, you're not going to be free. You've got to want it in your own heart. You've got to desire it in your heart. Jesus said, I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Right? Okay. So is Jesus trying to withhold that abundant life that he came to give you, and that he came and died on a cross and bled and went through all of the suffering and all of the trial and all of the turmoil so that you might have? Is he now trying to play hard to get with this for you? No, of course not. So, if there is something that is now missing in this, then you got to ask the question, why is it missing? What is limiting? What is holding you back from the abundant life that God intended that you might have? Wouldn't you like to know? Because you know what? Hey, look, life in this earth is short, okay? You and I, we're passing through. 100 years from now, all of us will be in the ground as far as our physical bodies go. Our spirits and our souls will carry on with Christ. But wouldn't you rather, in your time here, instead of just nursing the same old injuries, the same old war wounds, the same old things that happened to you when you were 5 and 10 and 15 and 20, and just living in that victim identity, wouldn't you rather live the abundant life? Wouldn't you rather live what God intended for you? Wouldn't you rather be that creation that God made you to be? Look, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. You're new in Him. So why are you still living as the old person? You know, we've gone through the scripture before. We've gone through the scriptures before where it discussed. Let's go there quick. Acts chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. Hang on a second. Acts chapter 1. 7 and 8 says, "And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But, verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." That power that God puts on you, that word witness, same word where we get the word martyr, that word witness is the word martus. Same place we get the word martyr. The power to put to death everything in your life that keeps you from being what God wants you to be, that keeps you from being a reflection of who He is, that keeps people from seeing Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have the power given by God in Jesus' name, because the blood of Jesus is upon your life. You have power to put to death everything that keeps you from being what God wants you to be. You have it. You already have it. So because you already have it, why are you not using it? There's a question. Why are you not using it? Well, you know, one reason why sometimes people don't, they have not because they ask not. You know, sometimes people just don't ask. It's right there, but they don't ask. They don't use what God's given them. Other times, what happens is people, they believe the lie of the devil. Unbelief creeps in. Unbelief creeps in. You know, somebody can be a beautiful creation of the living God, but then the devil lies to them and tells them something else, tells them there's something different, and they believe the lie. So they say, why even bother trying to get up? Why even bother trying? Because they believe the lie. And in believing the lie, they fall for the delusion. They're tricked. They're scarred. They're stuck. They miss it. You know, you can't believe the delusion. You can't believe the illusion of the devil. You cannot believe the lie. This is why the scriptures are so true. This is also why, if you are going to get together with other believers, you better get together with Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Word of God-following believers in Christ. You don't, look, if you're going to go on Sunday to some place, look, because first of all, church is not where you go, church is who you are. Need to make this very clear. Two or three gathered in His name, there He is among them, you got yourself a church. Right now, this is church, all right? According to what it actually was in the New Covenant, according to what it actually was in the book of Acts, that's church. So if you are going to go to a place once a week and get together with other people that are also claiming the name of Jesus, they better be, in actuality, worshiping Him in spirit and in truth, and digging into the scriptures, digging into the Word, which Jesus is the truth. He is the Word made flesh. So if there really are Christians, Christ-like ones, anointed ones in the order of Christ, if they really are truly Christians, then everything should be about Jesus when they get together. Not the Sunday lunch or the clubs they've got going or all the different seeker-friendly things that people try to do. Look, Jesus was not seeker-friendly, okay? Jesus was not seeker-friendly. He gave people the truth and the Word, and if people were hungry for it, they came to Him. A lot of people came to Jesus because He healed them. A lot of people came to Jesus because He did miracles. A lot of people came to Jesus because they're oppressed by devils and He cast them out. A lot of people came to Jesus for relief. But then, if they wanted to stay around, they had to hear the Word. And when they started hearing that word cut between, it cut bone and marrow, soul and spirit. It sliced deep. That truth cut deep, and when that truth cut deep, it was hard. It was hard. But if they really had a longing in their heart for that truth, they came into the light. And in coming into the light, they now found freedom. They now found liberty. They now found joy. They now found what it was that they were made to be. Instead of living in the lie and living in the darkness. Look, here's the thing about the darkness, all right? You might get a quick pop or a quick high or a quick moment of happiness out of something that the world would offer you. But that is short-lived. And that turns into a nightmare. When you go the way of the world, it turns into a nightmare. When you go the way of the world, it turns into sorrow and agony and piercing yourselves with many sorrows. What does the word say? Truth of the word. That when it comes to wealth and riches, people that have forsaken the truth and people that go after that and make the love of money their goal, they pierce themselves with many sorrows. Look, if you have something, the more you have, the more you have to share, okay? The more that God has put in your hand, the more that you are a steward of the resources that God has given you, the more you have something to give and to bless. And just, you know, as He would lead you, bless and help. But also realize, too, that you should not be thinking like the world, because the world itself, the world destroys itself. The people of the world destroy each other. They have zero loyalty. They have zero. They don't have. There's in the world. They don't have a true friend. All right. Demons and devils cut each other up all the time. They go after each other all the time. And the people that are led and follow them, that they are act just like them. They take on their nature and they have the same kind of behavior that the devils and the demons do as well. So you know, look, the world will destroy and implode on itself. And if you go the way of the world, you'll be part of that implosion. But if you walk with Christ in this day, in this age, you will walk with life and peace. You will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Read the Word. All right, you guys? Read the Word. Read the Bible. You know, look, sometimes, I know sometimes some of you guys out there, you get so tired and so war-weary that you don't even know if you can stand. And sometimes it gets even hard to even open the book. Look, even if you're in that situation, we live in a digital age right now. You can put the Bible on a CD player, on an MP3 player, on your computer. You can play it through your phone. All right? Even a cheap phone you can play the scriptures through. Turn it on. Let that word saturate your heart, your mind. Let that word just soak over your being. Let Christ in you, the hope of glory, refresh your soul. Turn your eyes towards Jesus. Put your eyes on Him. He's the author and the finisher of your faith, rather than looking at all that's swirling around you. You know, you've got to get disciplined about all the kind of information that's going on around you, because if you don't keep it in the right perspective, it will trouble your mind, it will trouble your soul, it will trouble your heart, you will react like they react. Look, am I worried about the things going on in the world right now? No. Why not? Because Jesus said, don't take any thought for the morrow, for sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. I don't need to worry about tomorrow. Do you need to worry about what to eat, drink, what to wear, what to put on? No. You don't. Does that mean that God doesn't give you some clear direction of things to do? Of course He does. When He does, you act on that. Prime example, Joseph, Pharaoh, famine about to hit the land of Egypt, right? Right. God speaks to Pharaoh in a dream. God speaks to the leader of the nation in a dream. And He quickens the leader of the nation. Here's what's coming up. Now, he doesn't know because he can't interpret the dream, right? So he sees the seven, you know, ears of corn that are bad and the seven that are good. The good ones first, the bad ones come up, eat the good ones. Same with the cattle. The good ones are there. Then the bad ones come up, the bad ones eat the good ones. Seven and seven, he sees the repeat of the dream, can't interpret it. God arranges the circumstances for Joseph to come stand before Pharaoh. Pharaoh arranges for his door, the prison door, for him to be open. And he goes and he stands before Pharaoh. And he interprets the dream. And the interpretation of the dream is, hey, you guys got seven really good years coming up. And then after that, you're going to have seven really, really bad years. And they're going to be so bad that everybody's going to forget about the good ones. Famine that broke out over the known world of the day. Seven bad years. And God, but also, Pharaoh was smart enough to know that the wisdom of God was in the man that interpreted the dream. And he was smart enough to put him in charge and make him only just one step down from him. And he gave him charge. He said, all right, you know, you got charge of the operation. And Joseph made proper preparation for the nation. And not just that nation, but his own family was saved out of Canaan. They were saved because of what Joseph did, because of what God arranged to happen through Joseph's life. Now, was Joseph was tried. He was tested. He went through hard, hard, tough times. And he held on to the word of God. He held on to the promises of God. He knew the God that he served. And he did not forsake his integrity in all the trials and all the tribulations that he faced. He remained a righteous man. And God used him. And God blessed him. And God gave him strength. And God allowed him to see the fruition of the dreams and the visions that he had put in him. Kept his eyes on God. In the middle of his own personal struggle, his own personal suffering, and then what would be the suffering of a nation and the known world at the time, he kept his eyes on God. And because he kept his eyes on God, he was useful. Useful for what needed to happen. He was of use. Look, if Joseph was all wrapped up in his suffering, If Joseph was all wrapped up, if he was just trying to find the easy way, well, hey, Potiphar's wife looks pretty. She's making a pass at you. You know? If he was looking for the easy way, Joseph had chances and opportunities along the way to turn his back on God. There's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, right? There's plenty of times along the way that Joseph could have just checked out and said, you know what? I was not planning on ending up in a situation like this. And he could have just said, forget what God showed me. Forget the truth of the word. I'm going to try to look out for number one. And that's what I'm going to do. And if he would have done that, Joseph would have died spiritually and died physically along with everybody else in a famine. The world would have missed out on what God put in him. Joseph would have missed out on what God intended for him. And his family would have died in famine. Isn't it amazing? Do you know that your life is not about you? Yes, you're involved. You're a participant in it, of course. But there's more going on with your life. You're either under the dominion of Satan and the power of darkness, or you're under the kingdom of God and light and truth. There is only two kingdoms in operation in the world, and you're either under the power of one or the power of the other. Make no mistake, you're either on one side or the other. And either you are living in the light and in the truth, or you are a slave to sin and to the devil. You make a choice to in that process, by the way. You're not just a victim of circumstance. But you need to live in the truth. You need to live in the promises of God. You need to live in what God intended for you. Because you know why? Because your life impacts more than you. It's not just about you. When you walk with God, your life makes an impact on many, many more. And when you don't walk with Him, if you walk in the world, well, hey, you know, there's a lot of people in the world that have done a lot of destruction to a lot of other people by siding with the world. In fact, the way that you go higher in the world system is the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. All right? That's what the devil does. John chapter 10. That's what the devil does. That's what his goal, his purpose, his plan, his agenda. And if you're going to go higher in his system, if you're going to be higher, if you're going to get spiritual power, if you're going to get position in the world system, then you are going to have to be as much part and parcel of that as possible. And the more effective you are at robbing, stealing, killing, and destroying, the higher you go, the more they promote you. The more sold out you are to the satanic side, the more that you know, they say, okay, this guy's one, he's on his way up. The thing that you don't realize is that the top of that ladder is Lucifer, and he's laughing at you. He's laughing watching all these people that are clawing all over each other, trying to climb this ladder. And he knows that everybody below the ladder, he's going to kill them all anyways. He's going to see all their souls go to hell. And the damage that they do to the earth and to other people and to life and to animals and to humanity and to everything else around them, that's what he wants. Because he's so full of hatred because he was kicked out of heaven. And he can't get at God. He can't get God. God is not gettable. So what does he do? Well, you know, we're made in his image and his likeness. So if he can't get God, well, what does he want to do? He wants to go after God's creation. He wants to go after the ones that are made in the image and likeness of God and distort them to as far a point away from whatever it was that they resembled in the first place and that they were made to be. And he wants to show God that. Show God his creation. And show God what he's done. What the devil's done to his own, to the creation of God. As they would then go and be flung headlong into hell. With him. Now here's the thing. God's made the way out. And even with all of this, there's an incredible divine purpose that's taking place as well. Because God is also separating the wheat from the chaff. God is already separating, and he's already separating those that love him and that have a heart for him. He is from those that don't. He is raising up his bride, pure, spotless, without wrinkle, to stand before him, ready. That's you. You are the bride of Christ. You've been marked by him, marked by the Spirit of God, quickened by his Spirit, called to be a part of what he's doing in this time, in this age. You live in an amazing time, and God has given you his Spirit, raised you up in truth. He's quickened you, he's allowed you to go through, and you're still here. You're still standing. You may be weak, you may feel beaten up, but you're still standing. And you are standing because the Spirit of God is in you, and the Spirit of God has you, and God knows exactly what he's going to do with you. Look, get rid of the hidden sin, all right? Get rid of it. It's just killing you. And everything that you think that sin is benefiting your life, every piece that you think is benefiting, it is robbing you 1,000-fold. Whatever pleasure the devil might think that you're getting out of that or offer you from that, you are losing 1,000-fold of the abundant life that God intends for you because you hold on to that in consort with the enemy. Look, the Spirit of God is there. If you want to be free, you'll be free. If you don't want to be free, you won't be free. That's just how it is. You've got to desire it. You've got to set your will to do the will of the Father. You've got to search the Scriptures. And when you find the Word and when you find the truth and God speaks to you out of that truth, you need to hold that truth up before God and say, Lord God, this is in your Word. This is the truth. I want to live by your truth. And Lord, I'm struggling with this maybe in my flesh, but I put it before you, and you've said that you've given me the power of your Holy Spirit to overcome these things, to be something different, to be what you made me to be. So I put it before you, Lord. Quicken me by your Spirit. Enable me by your Spirit to be what you made me to be. Lord, set me free from whatever it is that binds me. Lord, set me free from whatever this thing is. I want to be free. I choose to forgive. I choose to live in your promises. I choose to live in what you intended for me. Lord, you do it for me. And I will set my will to do that with you. Do it. Ask God for that. Pray. Pray. Don't complain. Don't murmur. Don't grumble. Pray. Pray. There's a big difference between murmuring and complaining and getting on your face before God in prayer. Would to God that a lot of people would stop murmuring and complaining and actually pray and ask God. Don't murmur, don't complain, don't gripe, don't email around about each other. Don't stop, knock it off. Pray. Pray, put things before God. Pray. Bless the Lord. Pray. Thank him. Thank him that he gave you another day. You know what? When you get a perspective of what life truly is, you will have so much gratitude in your heart for him saving you. You won't complain about anything ever again. If you had a full grasp of what God has saved you from, both in this life and in the next, you would appreciate every breath that you take in your lungs, every moment that you are alive. You would use every breath to say, thank you, Father. His thanks and praise would be on your lips all the time because you know where he brought you from. You know where he saved you from. You know what he called you out from. Ah, God bless you guys. In Jesus' name, be healed. You know what? In fact, hey, if you are struggling right now, if you've got something going on in your body and you need healing, trust God for that. Look to God. In fact, just right now, wherever it is that you are struggling, wherever it is, just, you know what? God heals. God heals. He's always with you. And if you're looking to him and you want to be free, just like Jesus said to that man, he said, told him to go and sin no more. If you've made a decision and a commitment to put things behind you, to put things apart from you that are binding you, that are hurting you, and you do not want to hold on to that stuff, then you put that before God right now and ask God to free you. Just say that right now. Say, Lord Jesus, set me free from this. I do not want hidden sin in my life. In Jesus' name, set me free. Save me in Jesus' name. Just say it. Say it to Him right now. Say it. You want to be done with it. All right. And if you said that to Him and you're also struggling, because a lot of times sin, look, the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. When people sin, things die. Things die in their life and the devil gets inroads into their life. But if you are closing those things up and you have set your heart and you trust God and you have faith in Him, then right now in Jesus' name, look, I just want you to put your hands up before God right now and just I want you to look to Him and look to Him for your healing. And right now in Jesus' name, we pray. We pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, for my brothers and my sisters listening in that are looking to you for healing, heal them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, be healed right now. Devil, get out. Get out in Jesus' name. Leave them alone. Satan, get out in Jesus' name. Go. In Jesus' name, be healed. Be healed. And it's done. That's done. Hey, God bless you guys. We love you. Keep on keeping on. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Say hi. You can also reach us through our Facebook page. Search for Faithmix. One word, you'll find us there. All right. Hey, we're praying for you guys. We love you. Talk to you soon.